This is Express FM, supported by the University of Portsmouth. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Pompey's barren run of form continues.
Blackpool goalkeeper is going to make it three games against Pompey, three wins. The cheers are all from the Blackpool touchline. They are going to leave with the 3 points.
The Tangerines of Blackpool completed the double over the Blues on Saturday, condemning Kenny Jackett's side to successive defeats in the process. Assistant manager Joe Gadden spoke after the game about what he believes needs to improve if the side is serious about pushing for automatic promotion.
Well done to them, defended resolutely, but ourselves going forwards, we need to pass the ball a bit quicker, move it a bit faster, but we do have the players in terms of unlocking the door, but we've got to work on it.
And between now and 7 o'clock this evening, we'll also hear the pre-match thoughts of Mr. Gallen ahead of tomorrow's trip to Oxford.
We're looking to be more creative in the final third, and we're looking to be more aggressive in the offensive box in order to get more chances.
We are also just over an hour away from hearing the Prime Minister's plan to reopen England, and there's some very good news regarding the return of fans to stadiums as early as May.
The turnstiles of our sports stadia will once again rotate, subject in all cases to capacity limits depending on the size of the venue.
As always, Pompey fans, get involved with the show tonight. All the usual ways to do so can be found on our website, expressfm.com. We look forward to hearing from you tonight here on Express FM. Welcome along to another instalment of the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome back to Monday night for your latest football fix here on Express FM, your home of the Football Hour and Pompey Live, bringing you all of the action of Pompey's topsy-turvy League One story. The latest chapter of that story saw the Blues welcome Neil Critchley's Blackpool to Fratton Park at the weekend with the aim of bouncing back from the midweek defeat at Bristol Rovers. Stagecoach across the South are the proud sponsors of the show this season, on which we welcome all sorts of interaction from you back home, the loyal Blue Army. Is automatic promotion still a realistic target? Are you concerned about Charlie Daniels' fitness levels? And does this squad have the mental strength of a side capable of finishing in the top two? All the usual ways to get in touch, Pompey fans. 81400 is the number to text your name and message to, starting with the word Express. You can email pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or head to facebook.com/PompeyLive. Now, unfortunately, we are going to kick off tonight's show by taking a listen back to the events of Saturday afternoon. The Blues welcomed fellow Seasiders Blackpool to the South Coast, aiming to get back to winning ways.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He scored!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
As Pompey in their usual home kit will be going from left to right in this first 45 minutes as we look at things from our position at the back of the south stand, and Blackpool immediately are going to send the ball long as Portsmouth look to try and return to winning ways after the disappointment of Tuesday night. Blackpool coming forward, giving Pompey's defence something to think about. Sims from a tight angle shot, saved, loose ball, great defending from Daniels, saves a certain goal for Blackpool there. Pompey still can't get rid of it. Daniels will have another attempt to clear, and he does. McGilvery palmed it, and Daniels saved a goal with Yates lurking. Can Daniels get his delivery right? And it comes. The goalkeeper's got his hands up, shielding from the sun. To the far post, comes and completely misses it. And the loose ball then goes behind off Ronan Curtis for a goal kick. And that feels like a half chance gone. 0-0. Curtis puts his left hand in the air and delivers. It's a low one and it's loose and harnesses effort. It's blocked. Still in the 6-yard box. And surely it's into the net. How's it been cleared off the line? And it's Husband the hero for Blackpool. And it's behind for another corner. Blackpool now breaking into the penalty area. Jerry Yates. What's Yates going to do? Tries to go around Raggett. Gets a shot away and he scored.
Jerry Yates drills it into the far corner, and Blackpool have taken the lead with less than 10 minutes to go. And yet again, Portsmouth, when they can't get a lead in the first 45 minutes, they're chasing the game in the second half. And the opposition have gone up the other end and scored. It's Portsmouth 0, Blackpool 1.
Chris Maxwell, the Blackpool goalkeeper, is going to make it 3 games against Pompey, 3 wins.
The cheers are all from the Blackpool touchline. They have come to Fratton Park, and it's they who are going to leave with the 3 points.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there of Pompey's 1-0 defeat at home to Blackpool at the weekend, courtesy of our colleagues from BBC Radio Solent, Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham. No messing around then. Let's get straight into the post-mortem of that loss on Saturday. And I'm pleased to first of all welcome Alex Fletcher back on to the Football Hour this evening. Alex, a very good evening to you, mate, and thanks for calling in.
Evening, Jake.
Evening to you, Alex. And alongside you tonight, we have Mr. Josh Sweetman. Josh, likewise, my friend, pleasure to have you back on. And my thanks for also agreeing to do so.
It's a pleasure to be back, Jake.
Let's get straight into it then, Alex. On Saturday, Pompey 1-0 defeat at home to Blackpool. Second defeat in a row following the loss at Bristol Rovers in midweek, the 3-1 loss at the Memorial Stadium. That is the second time in 2021 that the Blues have lost back-to-back league games. And prior to that, we'd gone 2 years without achieving such a feat under Kenny Jackett. What has happened? How have we had such a drastically poor start to the year, but certainly an average one. Where has this all come from?
In my mind, you look back to the results that we saw with the back-to-back defeats against Hull and Lincoln, and you can put those down to perhaps bad luck or tactics not working on an individual day, and certainly a chance for redemption. These two results have come down to the fact that we seem to have now reverted to type, gone back to an old system of playing one up front with higher wingers, less support from the fullback, 3 players in midfield that can't seem to ever command the midfield, and a system that doesn't suit the strengths of the players. And as a result of that, we're not creating chances, we're not scoring goals. And in a game like we saw on Saturday, we've gone so long without scoring and getting frustrated, and we're always vulnerable at the back. And Blackpool I think they came for a point and left with 3, quite frankly. And in my opinion, that is what it's down to. We've just reverted to type, gone back to this old system that doesn't work, doesn't suit the players, and doesn't produce results.
Yeah, and as Ryan Stilwell said on Pompey Live after the game on Saturday, Josh, Pompey lost to a Blackpool side, as Alex has also mentioned there, who were probably coming down to Fratton Park in search for a point, but they came away with 3, whereas the Blues were looking for 3 and came away with none. Now, this comes down to, you know, really being devoid of, you know, creating opportunities going forward. But do you believe that factors such as confidence, a drop in the mentality around the squad also come into play right now?
To be honest, if you watch the game back, I don't think you could tell that Pompey were the home team and Pompey were going for 3 points. We never really looked like we were going to create anything. We never really looked like we were going to score a goal. And it's a million miles away from what it was a couple of months ago, where you could guarantee that Pompey would at least score once or twice a game. I think the issue is that since January, we've sort of made a few tweaks to a winning side, Charlie Daniels being one, and we're missing certain bits on the pitch. We don't have someone like Lee Brown, who I've been Lee Brown's biggest critic a lot of the time, but this season he's much improved, and he gives that attacking outlet that we don't have now. And for someone like Curtis, who Lee Brown going out on the outside allows him to cut in, where we don't have that energy on the left, we've got no movement, and it's sort of stale when you're looking to get the ball in behind and score goals.
Yeah. 81400 is the number to text if you'd like to get in touch from back home. Be sure to start those with the word Express. Alternatively, you can email Pompey at expressfm.com. It's at expressfm if you're on Twitter, or there's facebook.com/Pompey Live. Alan Swift has just done that on the emails. Good evening to you, Alan. He says, "Hi, Jake. It has to be said that the seemingly uninterested attitude of many of the players who have had lots of rest, that this squad does not want the championship. Most would not make the necessary grade, and they know it. Just like the playoffs, they just completely collapsed against a poor Oxford side. I think a lack of real motivation is the other side of a coin. Joe Gadon can shout, but when he says the second half against Rovers was outstanding, I think he's a little bit clueless and he's up there with the theory, says Alan. He continues by saying, I don't even want to talk about the pathetic subs. When we need goals, they bring on a central midfielder. That's being kind to an overpaid one of the boys. Football is full of them. There has to be real good reasons for this collapse. Nothing will change unless we bring in a real good managerial pair. Alan Swift on the emails there, Alex. Safe to say, not very happy.
No, and you can fully understand it. You've looked at the last two games and you have seen a group of players that don't... They either seem disinterested or don't seem to really know what they're doing. And you do wonder what the weekly training regime is, because there doesn't seem to be much of a game plan. You know, we've seemed to have won games in the past playing in this way, almost by virtue of having some decent players on the pitch without any real plan. I think that does. There is a certain responsibility you have to put on the heads of the players. However, I do believe that majority of the responsibility does come down to that management team and does come down to how they're playing those players. Because let's be honest, if footballers aren't being utilised in the same way that, you know, in the way that they feel they should be utilised according to their strengths and all these kind of things, and they're brought into a club to do that, Marquis is the best example, in my opinion, of that, then they are going to be disinterested and they are going to struggle to find ways of making it work for themselves if they're fighting one battle of actually having to beat the team they're against and fighting the battle of the fact that they're not actually playing in a way that they want to play. So it's a mixture of the two, but it does have to start with management.
Yeah, and a stat here from our colleague from Radio Solent, Andy Moon, of course, the commentator for the matches up and down the country. On Twitter at the weekend, he put this: in the 2019-20 season and the 2020-21 seasons combined, the number of League One matches that Pompey have conceded the first goal in and have gone on to win, zero. Josh, that is worrying. Pompey not coming back into these games when they fall a goal behind. And this is what we mentioned a few moments ago in regards to the confidence, the mentality. The heads, they drop when we go a goal behind and we don't get back into these games. We saw it against Plymouth at home the other week. Don't get me wrong. We came back and somehow drew that game 2-2, but it wasn't a win. 3 points we desperately needed at the time. Yeah, the last two seasons, no games we've won having gone a goal behind. And that is poor. That is very poor. For a promotion chase inside, you need to find a way to win those sort of games.
You do, and you'd expect that sort of fact from a team that were fighting for relegation. I mean, Pompey have been very lucky that they've scored goals early on this season, and generally with Pompey, if they score early, they go on to win. But the issue is, sitting there as a fan and watching the game, as time goes on, you get to the second half and Pompey haven't scored, you know exactly what's coming. It happened on Saturday and it will happen again continuously. We don't have that mentality to pull ourselves back into the game. I know you said we did it against Plymouth, but I think that stems to the management as well. We don't have a positive attacking mindset in our management team to go, well, we're 1-0 down. We need to go and win this game 2-3-1. Let's chuck everything at it. Let's be conservative. Let's not lose this game 3-4-0. Let's try and get a goal and then we'll come back into it. There's no real attitude to come back in the game and push the opponents straight away. It's worrying, really, if you think about it.
Lads, thank you both for your input there. Keep those texts, tweets and emails coming into us, Pompey fans. Get your messages in. While we hear from Blues assistant boss Joe Gallen, who spoke to Ollie Marsh on the touchline at Fratton Park following the full-time whistle on Saturday.
Well, Joe, obviously not quite the response you were looking for today. How do you sum that one up?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Very disappointed with the scoreline. Very disappointed not to pick up any points. But I thought, on the whole, that we were the team in the ascendancy and on the offensive, really. But without having creating enough or maybe any clear-cut chances or not having enough shots, we had the majority of the territory. We were up around their box a lot. But then the final ball or the little bit of magic required to, you know, unlock the door, unfortunately for us, wasn't there today. And so we were disappointed not to work their keeper more times. I'm very disappointed not to score.
Yeah, and creating chances was one of the things that wasn't an issue on Tuesday night. So how disappointing is it that you weren't quite able to break Blackpool open today?
Yeah, as I said, we're disappointed not to pick up any points. And, you know, before going in, we knew that Blackpool had a very good defensive record. And we'd been working on, you know, unlocking the door, getting our fullbacks to overlap or maybe underlap in terms of creating some space and in order to create some chances. But well done to them. They defended resolutely. But ourselves, going forwards, we need to pass the ball a bit quicker quicker, move it a bit faster. But we do have the players in terms of unlocking the door, but we've got to work on it.
It always looked like there was going to be one goal in it. Do you think it could have gone either way, sort of as the second half was going on?
Yeah, and I always thought it was going to go for us. And as always here, you know, as the game's going on, we start ploughing forwards a little bit. And I wouldn't say we took too many chances, but they become a little bit of a threat on the counter late in the second half without having really any chances or any shots. So, of course, it's happened to us before here. Once we're on top, need to score. If you do that, that gives you a hell of a chance in terms of winning the game. But again, we're very disappointed. No goals and ultimately no points.
There were two changes to the starting 11 today and James Bolton dropped out of the squad. Was that an injury or just a way of bringing Jack Watmore back into the fray?
Well, actually, James Bolton picked up a bit of an injury yesterday. So not that he's going to be out for too long, but it definitely kept him out for today.
And Marcus Harness also coming in as well. Just talk us through that one.
Marcus Harness come on against Bristol Rovers and played very well. He's been having a good season for us. So we started him on the left-hand side as he come on against Bristol Rovers. So yeah, Marcus Harness was back in. And then, yeah, we're looking for Marcus Harness to have a strong finish. He's one of the players that can unlock the door. And we need to, you know, give him the confidence and give him the belief that he can do that.
We're obviously not at the stage in the season to start getting too downbeat, but the past two defeats today and Tuesday, how damaging is that for the promotion push that you're going for at the moment?
Picking up no points is of no use to us in the last two games. Obviously not a disaster, lots of games to go. Having said that, you know, getting too high when you win isn't really what we do, and we certainly don't get too low when we didn't either today. So it's on to the next quickly, on to Oxford away, which is a big game for us, Gillingham here next week, and there's plenty of games for us to pick up enough points in order for us to get what we want.
And just finally, Joe, on a more positive note, it was good to see Kenny back here today.
Yes, it was fantastic. Yeah, I mean, football is unbelievably important and very, you know, unbelievably important to me. But yeah, seeing Kenny back from his operation and his scare is great news for him, obviously him, his family and his health, and obviously great news for Portsmouth Football Club.
Joe Gallen there standing in for the gaffer Kenny Jackett recently, and it's great to hear, Josh, of Kenny's return, as mentioned at the end there by Joe Gallen.
It is great news, and if you think about it, when it comes to someone's health, football's the last thing that really matters. But it's great to see him back. I know that he's got his critics and there'll still be a lot of people complaining about Kenny, but having him around is definitely going to help us. I think it's shown over the last two games that we're clearly lacking something, whether it's tactics, whether it's leadership from the side. And it's now, although he won't be back really on the touchline for a game or two, if he's still going to be at training, if he's going to be sat on the bench, we need his experience to turn this around, because if it doesn't turn around soon, then I wouldn't even be surprised if we don't finish in the playoffs the way things are going, and the teams that are picking up form outside the playoffs.
Yeah. And do you think, Alex, but actually the lack of a Kenny Jackett presence at Bristol Rovers and sort of on Saturday against Blackpool, do you think that is having some kind of a toll on the players, or do you think actually that's a bit of an excuse that we can't really use?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I think it would be an excuse had the games sort of been played in the same way as we had previously and we've not picked up results. But you could see a notable change in the way the players were playing. Again, I'll bring up the formation. It changed, you know, before the Bristol Rovers game, as, you know, completely different to what it was in the previous game against Swindon. So you can perhaps equate that to Kenny Jackett. I'm not really sure of the arrangements with the management, whether or not he was still picking formations and teams, or whether Joe Gallen had full responsibility over that. To be honest with you, I think we'd rather have sort of more hope than expectation that was the case, because obviously Kenny Jackett will be back on the dugout soon, but it's something only they will know. But it's certainly disappointing to see, and it's certainly, hopefully, the only reason why suddenly we've just seemed to have had two very, very disappointing results.
Alex, Josh, thank you both very much. We'll catch up with you again after the break. And if you want a little bit more Joe Gallen in your life, then you're in luck. He was back on media duties this afternoon to preview tomorrow's trip to Oxford United.
I think what we've got to do is, we understand there's 18 games to go. Normally at this stage of the year, February, you're coming up to a run-in, but it's not quite the run-in yet. But after two losses, it's disappointing for us. But we're positive in our outlook. We understand there's lots of games to go. And starting on Tuesday night, we need to start picking up some points.
Carry on getting in touch, Blues fans. Let us know your pre-match predictions for tomorrow's game and your preferred starting 11 as well. All the usual ways. It's at ExpressFM on Twitter. Text your name and message, starting with the word Express, to 81400. Email pompey@expressfm.com or go to facebook.com/Pompey Live. Don't go anywhere and join us again very shortly for part two of tonight's show, You're listening to the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour here on Express FM, driven to you this season by Stagecoach across the South. Head to stagecoachbus.com for more information on timetables, routes and up-to-date fare prices. And please remember that if you must use public transport, a face covering must be worn throughout your journey. Got a few text tweets and emails coming in to us now. We're going to start off with this one with text with no name. They say, I'm not sure why dropping Brown is seen as a problem. He's been at fault for many goals we've conceded. It's the recovery pace of Cam Pring that we are missing. And like a certain midfielder two seasons ago, we have failed to replace him, says a mysterious texter into the show. Steph Shaw on Facebook has got in touch. He says, it's time we push Curtis up front and maybe give Daniels a go on the wing. Definitely need Lee Brown back. Curtis looks more of a striker than any of the others. Rather of a contrast into the mysterious texter. He wants Lee Brown back into the side. And it's a question I posed at the start of the show, Josh, questioning Charlie Daniels. We all know the experience that he brings, and we all know that he's a quality player, and his presence within this Pompey squad undoubtedly will go a long way in deciding Pompey's fate this season. But questions have been asked this weekend about his fitness and how that may be having an issue on Pompey. Can you see that? Do you think that maybe, you know, him coming off in the second half of games, Lee Brown coming on to replace him, do you think that's going to perhaps hinder our chances a little bit? Do you think we need to be a little bit more settled in that area? What do you think about that?
Personally, I don't think it's a fitness issue. You're talking about someone who has signed as a free agent, but it's not like he's not been doing anything for the last 6 months. He's been playing for Shrewsbury, and he's been playing quite well. I think the issue with Daniels is that when you're playing against teams like Blackpool, like Gillingham, you need to be throwing bodies forward. You need to be attacking. It's not like you're sitting down, and Daniels doesn't offer what Brown does going forward. He's got an unbelievable left foot, and yes, when it comes to crossing, he has got the advantage over Brown, but Daniels doesn't have the engine to get himself in those positions like Brown does. Brown will get around Curtis and hit the byline, whereas Daniels will sit back. And from that, you lose an attacking element. It's all well and good when you're playing teams up and around you like Hull, like your Peterborough, because Daniels is much more experienced and will sit. But when you're trying to break teams down, having an outlet like Lee Brown is fantastic. It's energy, and it allows Curtis to go inside. I think one other thing that you mentioned about Curtis going up top, I think that would have probably been the plan if Jacobs wasn't injured. I think once Jacobs comes back, who's been unbelievable since he signed for us, then he will play on the left, and it will allow Curtis to go up top for the first time.
Yeah. Jack Davies on Facebook says, in regards to Charlie Daniels, first 2 to 3 games at Pompey, brilliant player. The last two, he's been going too far forward and doesn't track back enough. Alex, is that something you've also seen in Charlie Daniels' game, or does that perhaps just show the intent of Charlie Daniels to get forward and try and create opportunities in matches where, let's be honest, they're not coming from anywhere else?
I mean, I hate to sound like a broken record, but again, it seems to be when you play in a certain way where you've got Curtis as a winger so much further up the pitch because they've only got one striker, you do rely on your fullbacks having to come forward more. Now, you look at a fullback like Brown, he is certainly more suited to that. I would agree with that. Daniels, he hasn't necessarily got the legs or perhaps the fitness to get back. You know, if you're playing with Curtis, just those few steps back, playing in a 4-4-2, then Daniels has that extra cover. He doesn't have to go forward so much further. And again, it's not a player that you'd expect that at the age of 34, or sort of, you know, for a short time, but a Premier League veteran, you wouldn't expect that of that sort of player. And it is just frustrating that he seems to be put in that position. I have sympathy with him. I really do, because I don't feel like he's being utilised. But if we are persistent in playing this system of 4-2-3-1, then I do think Brown's a better option.
Yeah. Let's move away from the Charlie Daniels conversation then. Let's move on a little bit about the squad mentality, confidence, and perhaps a little bit of leadership issues. Josh, are you sensing that, you know, Pompey this season, perhaps over the last couple of seasons, whilst we are probably, I would imagine, we are all in agreement, Tom Naylor, fantastic player and certainly suitable as a captain. The name Michael Doyle has been mentioned over the last few weeks, and when Pompey have been not quite picking up the results that they have been. And Is it fair to say that one of the key reasons Pompey are perhaps struggling a little bit is that we don't have that vocal sort of Michael Doyle in the dressing room? Whilst we, like I say, Tom Naylor, not knocking him, fantastic player and a great captain. But do you think we are lacking a Michael Doyle in this squad?
I would say yes, but I think there's two types of captains. And as someone that's played football a lot of time and being a captain, played under captain, you either have the one that leads from the front, which I think Naylor does, or you have the one that commands everything. And I think Naylor is perfect, especially when if Brown's on the pitch, all you can hear is Lee Brown shouting. And Naylor can go about every other little bit of business. Mm. If you said to me tomorrow, I could have let's say Michael Doyle at the age of 30, controlling our midfield, then I would take it every day of the week because he is a natural born leader. I think the issue in the team isn't the leadership. I just think it's the mentality. It's got nothing to do with the captaincy leadership. It's the mentality that, A, we're afraid to go 1-0 down because, as we know, we can't then score the goals to go on and win a game. And B, there just seems to be something in this team that there's no risk taken. It's very, very backwards, forwards, side to side. Nobody wants to go out and try that killer ball in fear that we'll lose it. I think that's the mentality issue. It's not something from a leadership point of view on the pitch. It's a mentality that goes throughout the whole squad.
Yeah, and I think Alfie Faithful on Facebook agrees with you, Josh. He says, we haven't had the right mentality for the last three seasons, and that's why we keep getting the playoffs, and that's why we keep bottling them, says Alfie on Facebook there. Got a couple of texts and tweets coming in as well, if I can find them. Andy on the text says, Jack, it's the reason we're still in this division with his inept team selection in the playoffs. Lee Brown has been badly treated, says Andy on the text. And Ron Parker on the emails. Hi, lads. Love the show. Always try to listen. Thank you, Ron. Pleasure to hear from you. Glad you're enjoying it, my friend. Watched and listened to every game so far this season. Season to get older for many years. I admit to not enjoying Kenny's football. Personally want someone with passion who looks as though he likes being here. So why are we going backwards? I'm not a lover of our midfield duo, but for a while we were playing adventurous football with Cannon and Naylor playing out of their skins. However, the past five or six matches, both players have been negative and reverted to their defensive roles. We look solid with a driving midfield, and sadly there are too many players that are not keeping to their own positions. It is not fitness with Daniels. He does not defend. They're all over the pitch. I do not feel we will reach playoffs this season. Ron Parker on the emails there. Alex, is it fair to say that the last five or six games, and actually we'll look at Pompey's record over the last seven matches. 1-2, drawn just for once, and lost four out of the last seven games. Scored only eight goals, conceded 12. A total of 7 points, a point per game. Whereas the previous seven before that, of course, we remember that fantastic run prior to Christmas, heading into the new year. Six wins, one draw, and zero defeats. 11 scored and zero conceded. 19 points. What? How has this come about? We normally see around Christmas time Pompey struggle a little bit. That seemed to be a Pompey thing. Has it just happened a little bit later this season? Are we panicking a little bit too much? Is this just a blip?
You could certainly hope it's a blip. I think if you're talking a blip, you look at the Hull and Lincoln game. That's a blip. You turn around after that and you back it up with a couple of positive results. I mean, the draw against Plymouth was perhaps disappointing to go 2-0 down, but there's a couple of wins in the Charlton game in particular. I think you can cite that as a really, really strong performance. You look at these last two games and you've seen a real change. Talking about mentality, we don't have a manager, and I don't think we have a management team that motivates the team. Now, you can say that his qualities lie in other places, but he doesn't motivate a team successfully, and I've never thought he has done. So the players have to find other ways of motivating themselves. And for me, in my opinion, again, to say it, the way they motivate themselves is by playing a sort of more freestyle of football, being able to play on the attack and play with more confidence. Now, is it right that that has to come from a system? No, it should come from the management team. But when you've got this, you might as well do it in the way that it works, in my opinion. It is a blip, and you could turn around, and if they do change things and the players show a reaction in the next run of games, that are winnable games, a lot of them, then fantastic. But you don't want to be looking back in May and saying, these two games have cost us, because we've done that the last two seasons. We've looked back and said, this period cost us, unable to get out of this slump. That's what cost us. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, but you've certainly got to see a reaction and just hope that this doesn't cost us at the end of the season.
Kath Absom on Twitter has got involved with the conversation tonight. She says, as much as I really like Tom Naylor as a player and our current club captain, he's a really quietly spoken character, which obviously comes across naturally to him most of the time. So he's never really been vocal enough to show his authority on the pitch as much as he should. She then goes on to say that we also have a number of really volatile characters in our squad who are far too vocal and always having a pop at all the officials whenever any decision doesn't go their way, which frequently stops them playing their natural game as well. Kath on Twitter there, thank you for getting in touch. Stephen Jerome on the emails. Good evening, guys. After the disappointing result last Tuesday, I expected Pompey to come out and go for it on Saturday, but that's not the impression I got watching the game. We just seemed to lack creativity going forward. Credit to Blackpool, they were solid at the back and they were well organised, but we just couldn't find a way to break them down. And actually, we just kept going backwards through a lot of the game. The defending for their goal was poor and Raggett has to take some responsibility for that. What on earth was he doing? He was backing off and allowed their player to run into our box and get the shot away. You cannot defend like that, but it's just not good enough. He goes on to say, but I also think the subs have to be made a lot earlier. Hawula was thrown on with about 10 minutes of the game left and that is far too late. A great player, but what can he do in 10 minutes? It is ridiculous. Stephen Salcy on the emails there. And in regards to Steve's point about Jordy Hawula, Josh, someone Pompey fans have been screaming out for so, so long. He finally got that opportunity on Saturday. But do you agree with Steve? Was it far too little too late?
I think it was. I mean, to be honest, there's been a big clamour for him. And yeah, I mean, he scored goals when he's played in other games. I don't think he actually touched the ball on Saturday from memory. But the issue is that we've gone from a formation which was 4-4-2, and it wasn't a second recognised striker up front. It was someone like Harness or Williams, and I've seen a lot of clamour for Harness to go back up front. And to be honest, I think it was proven that it worked just as well with Williams. When Williams went up front, we started scoring goals. I think the issue at the moment is Marquis looks blown out. He's a fantastic goal scorer, we all know that. But if you play him up front on his own, you've got him chasing lost causes, and it's not his fault. Like, he's one of the most energetic, one of the most passionate players in the team. But when he's played up front on his own, he's just chasing hopeless balls. If we were to put someone like Hawula up there with him, then he's got someone that will run off him. He's got someone that might do his busy work and free him up to be in those goal scoring positions. At the moment, he's got no one near him and he just looks completely wasted. You're talking about a bloke who scored almost 30 goals a season, two or three years in a row for Doncaster. And I know he scored a few goals this season, but he needs someone there with him. Otherwise, it's just a waste of talent.
Yeah. Don't forget, Pompey fans back home, if you want to get involved with the conversation, do you agree with what Josh has been saying, what Alex is pointing out? How confident are you now of a top two finish? Are you worried that the playoffs may even be a struggle to reach? And what do you predict the score of tomorrow night's game at the Kassam Stadium to be? All the usual ways to do so, at ExpressFM if you're on Twitter. Text your name and message starting with the word Express to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or go to facebook.com/Pompey Live. But first of all, we're going to hear the pre-match thoughts of Joe Gallen. And he's not shying away from how big a game it is at the Kassam Stadium tomorrow night.
It is, yeah, big game for us, yeah. Played lots and a lot over the past few seasons, obviously the playoffs, and it's always been a very, very tight game. We expect that nonetheless, but we're expecting from ourselves better, a better performance in terms of offensively, better performance in terms of creating chances and hopefully taking chances and scoring some goals.
You mentioned the playoffs there. Obviously, it won't be a happy place for many of the players who played in that game. Do you think that's going to be on their minds at all, or will it be just sort of business as usual?
Business as usual, because we played him in the league a couple of months ago, so we've already played Oxford again, and it ended in a 1-1 draw. They know a lot about us, we know a lot about them. We're coming off the back of two defeats, which is very disappointing. important for us, and we're looking to put things right.
Yeah, and how are you going to put things right? What sort of things have you identified that you need to work on in training?
I think performance-wise, in terms of our passing and our middle third football and getting up around their box in the previous two games has been pretty good. Looking on Saturday's performance, we put a lot of crosses and balls into the box and we were unable to come up with a finish. We're looking to be more creative in the final third, and we're looking to be more aggressive in the offensive box in order to get more chances. So same again, look solid at the back with the back four that played, decent in midfield, and we're looking for a better final third performance from our forwards.
As I think we touched on after the game on Saturday, there's still 18 games left, so it's not quite the stage of the season to start panicking. But do you think it is time now for your players to stand up and be counted?
I think what we've got to do is we understand there's 18 games to go. Normally at this stage of the year, February, you're coming up to a run-in, but it's not quite the run-in yet. But after two losses, it's disappointing for us. But we're positive in our outlook. We understand there's lots of games to go, and starting on Tuesday night, we need to start picking up some points.
And the reaction to those two defeats from fans on social media and the local press, there have been questions asked over whether you're still able to make the automatic promotion spots. Is that something that you still see as a realistic goal?
Certainly, with 18 games to go, it's a huge realistic goal, yes. And but that's the bigger picture. The short-term picture is Tuesday night, and the short-term picture is a strong performance attacking in terms of getting chances, scoring goals, and the short-term picture is a bit more important than the bigger-term picture at the moment.
You made two changes to the side for the previous game on Saturday. Will there be any more changes to the starting 11 tomorrow?
I'm pretty sure, yes. I've been speaking to Kenny yesterday about the team, and it's looking like we've got a good squad. We've got a lot of players. All the players always want to play. Players are not happy if they're on the bench and not playing, so there'll be an opportunity for some tomorrow night.
The pre-match thoughts of Joe Gallen there speaking to Ollie Marsh ahead of tomorrow's trip to Oxford. And that's the game the three of us will be looking ahead to right after the break. So join us in just a few moments' time for the conclusion of tonight's show. You're listening to the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back for the third and final time tonight to the Monday Football Hour here on Express FM. Driven to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Download the app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to plan your next trip and even pay in advance for your ticket. You have just over 15 minutes to get your final text, tweets and emails in to us Blues fans from back home. Let us know your score predictions for tomorrow night's game at the Kassam Stadium. 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with the word Express. Email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet at expressfm, or go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Pompey Live. And to kickstart our preview of tomorrow night's game, we're going to leave you in the hands of the wonderful Connor Mosley, who has an in-depth look at this week's opponents, Oxford United.
The Blues are back on the road for their next league match, and they go back to their unhappy hunting ground, the location of last year's playoff semi-final heartbreak. It is, of course, the Kassam Stadium to take on Oxford United.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The U's are Pompey's next opponents in League One as match day 29 creeps upon us. Kenny Jackett's side suffered back-to-back league defeats for the second time this calendar year at the weekend, having previously gone 2 years without recording such an unwanted feat. This is what we know ahead of kickoff about the side who are very capable of making it three in a row, Oxford United.
Manager.
Former MK Dons and Charlton Athletic gaffer Carl Robinson remains in charge of Oxford. The 40-year-old was appointed as head coach on March the 22nd, 2018, the same day as his departure by mutual consent from Charlton. He succeeded Pep Clatet at the Kassam Stadium and has since overseen 66 victories from 158 competitive fixtures.
One to watch.
Watch out for tricky winger Dan Agyi during this match. The 23-year-old London-born playmaker, who wears the number 19 shirt at Oxford, joined the club on a 3-year deal in August 2019, signing from Premier League outfit Burnley, for whom he made just 3 appearances in 4 years. Agyi did have successful loan spells out of Turf Moor, however, representing the likes of Coventry City, Walsall and Blackpool in League One.
Top scorer.
30-year-old striker Matty Taylor is the U's leading scorer so far in League One, having netted 11 times in 26 appearances this season. The Oxford-born forward, who has played for both Bristol clubs, City and Rovers, began his career at the Kassam in 2007, but he made just 7 appearances in 2 years during his first spell. He rejoined the club on loan last season and impressed, scoring 13 goals in 26 games, earning him a permanent move in the summer.
Current form.
Oxford are the most informed team in the division over the last 10, 15 and 20 matches, recording 38 points from their last 20 games after an extremely slow start to the season. The U's are now 8th in the table and just 3 points off the playoff places with a game in hand. A miraculous comeback, having spent the majority of the first quarter of the season inside the relegation zone. Over the last 10 league matches, Oxford have won 8, drawn 1 and lost 1, losing only to Doncaster Rovers in that time. They also made it to the EFL Trophy semi-finals, but bowed out to League 2 side Tranmere last week. Can Pompey get their season back on track? Will the Blues record their first league victory at the Kassam Stadium since August 2014? Catch all of the unmissable action of the U's versus the Blues on Pompey Live.
Connor Mosley there with an in-depth look at Oxford United, Pompey's next opponents tomorrow night at the Kassam Stadium. Kickoff is 7 o'clock. We'll be live here on Express FM from 6 p.m. with an hour build-up of that game. Myself and Liam Howes will be at the ground in Oxford. And we'll also be joined, of course, by the magnificent Ryan Stillwell. Looking ahead to that game then, Alex, Oxford United, not been a happy hunting ground for Pompey of late, has it? Connor mentioned there within that feature, we've not won at the Kassam Stadium in the league since August 2014. That was a League Two game where Craig Westcar scored to make it 1-0 for Pompey. And a team, Oxford United, who are the most informed sides in the division over the past 10, 15 and 20 games respectively. After back-to-back defeats, going up against Oxford tomorrow, Gillingham on Saturday, who have been a bit of a bogey side for Pompey in recent seasons, this is not the week you would be hoping for.
Not at all. I don't think there'll be many Pompey fans going into it with confidence, but then it's up to the team to sort of prove us wrong. I mean, Oxford are a real anomaly, it seems, in this league, and it was the last couple of seasons that's starting so slowly and then suddenly having this fantastic run of form and pushing their way onto the playoffs. And I think they'll have half an eye on that now, more than half an eye, actually, considering the form they're in. And after, you know, losing to Wickham last year in the playoffs, I think they'll be keen to try and get back and almost feel like they can go all the way after the experience of it. It's a game that's very, very unpredictable, and I think it very much does depend on whether or not we take the game to them. If we do what we've done the last two games and allow them to dictate the play, dictate the game, they'll roll us over quite comfortably, I think, honestly. I really think we need to go there and impose ourselves and show ourselves as a promotion contender, because, like I say, if they're looking at the playoffs and they beat us, you know, we'll be looking over our shoulders at them, and it's one of many teams, to be honest with you, that's coming into good form. So it's a big game. It's not an ideal game, but get a hold of Matty Taylor, get a hold of Shadipo, and then maybe we've got a chance. But it's certainly a game that not many Pompey fans are going to have confidence going into.
Yeah, and as Alex mentioned there, Josh, Pompey really will be looking over their shoulders. If Oxford do win tomorrow night, they will be 1 point behind Pompey, which is absolutely crazy when, you know, we mention about how they were in the relegation zone at the start of the season. They were looking very, very poor. They've turned their season around. Full credit to them. Full credit to Carl Robinson for completely changing that team around. But considering not long ago we were, you know, on the brink of getting into that top two, we had games in hand on other sides around us, we now find ourselves in a position not quite looking above us, but certainly looking below at the likes of Oxford, Accrington, Stanley, Sunderland as well. Doncaster have been thrown into the mix too. Do you think that actually, I wouldn't say the automatics are completely gone. Like you say, there's so many games of this season still to play. Anything really can happen. But realistically, should we just be grateful for a top six finish at this stage?
I think it's tough. I mean, like the majority of Pompey fans I know, I'm not a very positive Pompey fan, because I know whenever I get my hopes up, Pompey will quickly let me down. But I think that there is a serious concern, especially for me, with everything that's going on below us. Oxford, Sunderland, Doncaster, Accrington, Stanley are all flying. They're in fantastic form. And you sit there and you think, well, these teams are winning. And if we're not picking up results sooner or later, it's not only them closing the gap on us, it will be us falling out of the playoffs. And Yeah, I know we've got quite a nice run in, but you look at the next four games, which are Oxford, Gillingham, I think then Doncaster, and probably, I think it's Sunderland.
Mm, yeah.
I can't realistically see us picking up many points in that. If we go on the way we are at the moment, then we'll be lucky to get 4 points on those from 12 available, which then you'd be, I wouldn't be surprised if we're then by that point out of the playoffs. So we need to turn up, as Alex said, tomorrow with a real positive attitude and from minute one, take the game to Oxford. Because as he said, if we sit back and let them play, they'll put three or four past us, because we've seen it in the past. Our mentality is to let teams come at us and try and hit them on the counter. It can work at times, but it also can spectacularly fail as well.
Paul O'Neill on Facebook, something has to change. We lack confidence and creativity. I can see the signs against Plymouth and Swindon, and the last two defeats have just proved my point. Every player has to stand up and fight, which at the moment they are not. Not even to have a shot on target against Blackpool is simply not good enough. Are you forgetting the Sean Raggett overhead kick, Paul? That was on target. And our defence looks far too shaky of late. Moving forward, what more must start tomorrow? I think we can all echo those thoughts, Paul, if we're being honest. And we must start to build from a strong foundation. Hopefully we can put in a strong performance tomorrow and actually play for the badge and show some passion and belief at the very least. Paul on Facebook there. Stephen Jerome on the emails, back in touch. Going to be a tough game up at Oxford tomorrow night. But boy, we need a reaction from the team after the last two results. Going for a narrow 1-0 Pompey win with John Marquis to score, Steve in Southsea. And we've got Gav Jones on Twitter. Good evening, gents. Do you think losing Michael Jacobs in the Plymouth game has had an effect? He seemed to be in a good run of form before his injury. Also, when Curtis has a dip in form, everyone screams for him to be dropped. So why is the same not said for Marquis? Very good question. First of all, in regards to Michael Jacobs, Alex, do you think Pompey has suffered in his absence?
Potentially. I think he certainly had started to build a bit of momentum that perhaps he'd lacked early on. You know, and they had a long spell out injured. To be honest with you, I'm not sure how much of a difference he would have made in the last couple of games, considering he probably would have been playing in the position where Curtis is playing. And to be honest with you, I think Curtis has been, I wouldn't say one of the better players, one of the least bad players, if that's any way of saying it, in the team at the moment. So whether or not he would have made that much of a difference, I'm not sure. But it's certainly another blow for him personally. And if he is sort of fit and available, I'm not sure when he will be fit and available, then it's certainly something we need to try, because we need to change things up. And like you say, need to find players that are willing to go out there and just show as much passion and unity as we need to get promoted.
Yeah, and one final text in for this evening before we do head to the score predictions. Mike T, hi Jake, it's got to be third time lucky for the Blues. Confidence on the ball and shots on goal are needed from the Blues tomorrow night. Mike T in Southsea. And moving away from the conversation to tomorrow night's game, then Oxford away, like I say, 7 p.m. kickoff, 6 p.m. we'll be live here on Express FM. And on to the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, who will be holding a press conference at Downing Street in around about 20 minutes' time, where he will be laying out the foundations for the United Kingdom, the UK, to come out of this lockdown. And in the House of Commons earlier today, he was quoted in saying this very, very exciting prospect for football fans.
The turnstiles of our sports stadia will once again rotate, subject in all cases to capacity limits depending on the size of the venue.
Fans will return to elite stadiums no earlier than the 17th of May. In large stadiums, we're hearing the limit will be a 25% capacity or 10,000, whichever is lower. So in Pompey's case, with a capacity of around about 20,000, 25% is 5,000. That is lower than 10,000. So if that is the case, if Pompey was to go on a playoff campaign and we do play after the 17th of May, we will likely see around about 5,000 Blues fans at Fratton Park for the first time in a very long time. For smaller stadiums, the limit will be 50% or 4,000. Again, whichever is lower. And an EFL statement said that we note the Prime Minister's announcement today in respect of a roadmap for easing national lockdown restrictions and the government's criteria for a phased return of fans to sporting events. as has been our approach throughout the pandemic. The EFL wants to see supporters back in our stadia as soon as it is safe to do so. We will continue to work with clubs, DCMS, the SGSA and local authorities to this end. And following a successful fan pilot programme in the autumn, the EFL member clubs have shown test events for fans can safely be delivered with the appropriate measures in place. And they are hoping that the Carabao Cup final on the 25th of April could work out in the same sort of vein. So that is the news. Pompey fans and football fans all across the country, keep an eye out or keep a listen out for Boris Johnson's announcement in around about 20 minutes time. There may be some really big news in regards to Pompey fans returning to stadiums very, very soon. Okay, Alex Fletcher, going to get your very, very quick score prediction. Pompey away to Oxford tomorrow night. What are you going for?
I'm going to have to say a 1-1 draw. I could never predict us to lose, but I don't have much confidence in us winning. So I'm going to have to go 1-1.
1-1 draw, says Alex Fletcher. Josh Sweetman, what are you going for, mate?
I think we're a danger to ourselves at the moment, and I think Oxford are going to roll us over 3-1.
Ooh.
I hate to say it, but it's,
do you know what?
Judging by the last two performances, I can't see us winning.
That's fair. You make my prediction actually look rather confident, Josh, because I was going to go for a 1-0 Oxford defeat. I barely predict defeats, but like you say, over the last two games, it's hard to see anything different.
I hope I'm wrong.
I hope we're both wrong, mate. Les, thank you both very much for joining me on the show this evening. It's been a pleasure to have you both on the Football Hour once again. I'm sure we'll hear from you both very, very soon. Pompey fans, that may be the end of tonight's show, but you can catch your next football fix right here on Express FM from 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. Pompey travel to the Kassam Stadium.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is.
You wouldn't believe it.
Pompey live.
Blackpool made the week even more miserable for the Blues with a 1-0 win.
Gets a shot away, he scored. Jerry Yate drills it into the far corner. And Blackpool have taken the lead.
Next up, the Blues travel to Oxford United for more League One action. It's Oxford United versus Pompey, right here on Pompey Live.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Once again, a reminder, that is a 7 o'clock kickoff for all of these changes the EFL are doing this season. Much of these Tuesday night games will be 7 o'clock kickoffs, bar in a few weeks' time when Pompey hosts Sunderland at Fratton Park. That has been selected for Sky Sports coverage, so that'll be a 7.45 kickoff. But tomorrow, 7 p.m. kickoff, 6 p.m. coverage here on Express FM as Pompey travel to Oxford United. Coming up tonight here on Express FM, the Soft Rock Show is back after the 7 o'clock news with Jeff and Adrian. They've got the latest by Keith Attack, Pale Waves and Rag and Bone Man as well. Scattering the Roots is back from 9 p.m. through till 11 with Dan Ogus, and then the Express Wind Down with Liam Howes between 11 and 2. I'm pretty sure he's going to make me listen back to that tomorrow on the way to Oxford, so I'm not looking forward to that one. Mason Jordan is back with Express Breakfast tomorrow morning from 7 o'clock. He's got more great songs, the latest Portsmouth travel and the Rewind Year from 9 a.m. as well. Darren Gabardon returns from 10 o'clock with more great moaning all morning long. I'm sure he's got a few dad jokes up his sleeve as well, has Dazza. Ian James will be back from 1, speaking to Portsmouth people, playing Who Am I, the guessing game, and he's got just great songs all day long, and the victory years from 2 as well. James Percy returns from 4, and then of course it is the return of Pompey Live as the Blues travel to Oxford United, match day 29 of this League One campaign. Join us for that live at the Kassam Stadium. But until then, Pompey fans, have a great evening. Play up, Pompey, and good night.